You know when your customers are shopping at your business and they pick up a product? The customer holds it, feels it, and shows it to their friend. Then they look at the price tag.
Oh my, I need to look at something else.
The customer picks up a second item and loves the way it looks. They've heard of this product, but haven't yet seen it in person.
I've got to have this!
You're happy the customer chose to buy a product, but you're equally frustrated that they didn't buy both items.
I want them both.
The Consumer Experience Lab at Barbera Solutions designs behavioral strategies that target the consumer's decision-making process. BarberaSolutions.com. Because the opposite of rational is not irrational. B-A-R-B-E-R-A Solutions.com. Why is the shopping cart always in the top right of the screen?
How do companies predict my purchases?
Why do prices end in 9?
Why do fast food companies use red and yellow in their logos?
Why do restaurants always have one expensive menu item?
Researchers, marketers, and very curious people seek the answers for how we make decisions and how we choose products. ClickSuasion finds the secrets that companies use and shares them with you.
Why do I feel better when I bought the last remaining airline ticket?
How do I make choices based on colors and fonts?
Welcome to ClickSuasion. This is your host, Michael Barbera. We're here today with Terry Janovich. Terry is a speaker, trainer, consultant, and author. Terry's previously the keynote speaker at the Disney Institute. She shared exemplary practices of customer service with organizations worldwide. For more than a decade, Terry facilitated cultural change as an executive with a company that revolutionized total quality management, Philip Crosby Associates. In 1991, Terry began her own firm, T.A. Janovich Incorporated, to share her combined experience and knowledge of how to offer a customer experience that delights and differentiates one from the competition. Terry's highly acclaimed book, Unleashing Excellence, The Complete Guide to Ultimate Customer Service, serves as a guidebook to leaders of organizations that are looking to create a culture of service excellence. Terry, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. So I have to jump in and say, what is the experience for you like working with the Disney Institute?
With the Disney Institute, it was great because at the time that I was with them, all the programs were only being delivered to audiences that were staying on hotel properties. And so the venues were beautiful where I would be working in every day to deliver these programs as the guests, the audience would come stay and be able to experience what was being shared with them in the delivery of the programs. And I also loved working with the Disney Institute because the programs were very entertaining and audiences could see the magic behind what makes the Disney experience so much fun and engaging for people to keep coming back. So I really enjoyed those years with working with the Disney Institute.
So when you were with Disney, did you consider yourself a cast member?
I was a cast member. I also worked as a cast member when I first graduated from college. And I had graduated from high school and went out to apply. My mother was highly encouraging me to get a job. And this was back in Orlando when Disney had first opened. And I went out to interview, but she, in pushing me to get a job, had hoped that I would come back with a position such as Snow White, Cinderella, or Sleeping Beauty. She had big dreams for her little girl. And so I went out for the interview where you are cast for a role in the show, basically, and had been coached by her to make sure I mentioned in the interview that I had been dancing for many years. And so very dutifully, I brought that up, and the interview took off in a different direction. And I mentioned that I had been taking ballet since I was 7 years old. And so you are told that day whether or not you've been hired. And I came home very excited that afternoon. And as she was waiting for me at the front door with a great big grin on my face, I said, guess what? I'm going to be a can-can dancer at the Diamond Horseshoe Revue. And so with that, her image of the Snow White and the black fishnet stockings didn't quite coincide with each other, but it was a really fun position to have as I worked those 4 years going through college and had the opportunity to experience what it was like to work in that 98 degrees heat and 100% humidity as we have now. So, it is... planned, it's managed, it's orchestrated when you have that many cast members, all geared towards creating happiness for their guests. And it was a wonderful learning experience at a very young age.
I am jealous. I'm probably in the wrong field. If someone was to call me today and say, Mike, you can be a cast member at Disney, I would probably drop everything I'm doing and drive down to Orlando right now.
Well, I'm sure you would be a great one.
I try. Terry, can you explain the difference between customer service and customer experience?
Yes. The customer service is the actual delivery that you are interacting with the customer on the other end to give what you've promised, whether that's a product or whether that's a service. And so it's more, as I see it, the act of delivering the offering that was promised, whereas the customer experience is more encompassing. It's not only delivering what you promised, but it's also creating that delivery to be a very positive, memorable moment in which you're not only engaging with the employee, but also you are influenced by the environment, the setting that's surrounding, by the processes in which that product or service is being delivered, and the attitude and the overall engagement that you have with the employee. Is it more of just a transaction in which you feel processed, or is it a relationship in which you feel valued? So those factors all make up the experience more so than just that interaction or that transaction of transferring the product or the service. So the experience is more encompassing than just customer service.
So how does organizational culture and, say, employee behavior affect that customer experience?
Typically, the organizational culture is set from the leadership at the top. And so what the leadership determines to be most important is what gets conveyed throughout all the interactions within the organization. And this is for internal service between departments as well as external service out to the customer. And so if it is perceived that leadership is more focused on efficiency, or leadership is more focused on the schedules or the budgets, then typically, or costs, that's typically then what gets permeated down throughout the rest of the organization and becomes the focus of those interactions. And so it's those organizations where the leadership has made the commitment and the dedication to say that we are going to be driven by the customer experience, and that's going to be our focus, is to ensure, as Disney has said, that they want to be led by creating those repeat visitors to keep coming back by them having a happy experience. And so everything is geared towards that end result. And so while, yes, scheduling is important and budgeting is important and efficiency is important, if the leadership sets the vision that the result of the interaction between the employee and the customer is to result in an emotional connection and a relationship, then that's a very different feeling for the customer than more, once again, just a transaction of a delivery of a product or service. But it's got to start at the top.
Terry, I'm glad you mentioned the vision and happiness. In your book, you mention walk through fire customer loyalty. Can you define that?
Walk through fire customer loyalty is just that there are those organizations that create such a bonding with their customers that the customers will do everything to continue doing business with them. You see that loyalty with companies such as Ritz-Carlton, Nordstrom's, American Express, USAA, Harley-Davidson. It's very few and far, those companies, but what they've done is they've consistently created that trust factor and the value in doing business with them and those relationships that customers don't want to go anywhere else. That when given the choice that perhaps even the pricing is lower or it's more available or convenient to go somewhere else, they don't even consider it, because they are so loyal to the brand that they have been associated with. And that's that walk through fire, is that you can count on them, that even when times get bad and you may have situations where it's tough for that customer to stay with you, they do, because they're dedicated to you. And you've shown them your loyalty and the value that you provide to them. And so they keep coming back.
Also in your book, you mention a study conducted by Big Research for the National Retail Federation and American Express, which found that 85% of consumers shop more often and spend more at retailers that offer higher levels of customer service. Also back to that walk-through fire loyalty, why are we as consumers more than willing to shop with retailers that have better customer service or better customer experience?
Well, the feeling that we are appreciated, the feeling that when I go into a retail store and that I don't feel hassled, I feel that they've taken the need or the opportunity to really truly listen to the questions that maybe even I cannot even articulate well myself, because I don't know exactly what I'm looking for, but because of their knowledge and expertise, that they take that time to really determine my needs, my wants, my desires. And I feel that they care about me, and that they're going to take care of me, and that I can trust that if something goes wrong with the product or the service, that they're going to have a great service recovery. So it's really a trust factor and a feeling of I'm special, because in today's world, most of us feel like we're just next in line and we're just a transaction. And while sometimes you don't always want to go in and be given that special attention, if you're just going in for a commodity product or service, which most commodity products and services are, but it's those times when you do want someone to really pay attention to you and what you're looking for. And so that's why we'll go back. And it can be even that the pricing may be slightly higher, but we feel we got that value from them versus just being satisfied. And that's a distinction, that those retailers, that 85% who really focus on the experience are focusing on, is the difference between customer satisfaction and customer value.
In your book, you mentioned the website gethuman.com. Now, I'm a personal advocate of Get Human. I'm on Get Human probably at least once every 2 weeks to find a way to get past the phone tree. What are your thoughts on phone trees, and possibly what are some best and worst practices organizations can use on phone trees?
Best, of course, is to have that live human voice, be able to answer the phone. And I got to tell you, when I do get that, I am so wowed. That in itself is just a huge wow in today's world. If that is not the case, though, it's those that allow you to bypass if you already know the extension, so that you don't have to go through the entire voice tree to be able to get to the area that you want. Also, those that when they do change, that they don't say, our menu has recently changed, so please listen because that's not necessary. Just go ahead and delete that immediately from your voice tree if you've got that, because people don't care. And it's more of thinking how quickly, if I'm going as a customer, looking through the lens of the customer, putting yourself into their shoes, that if they are looking for a specific area, what would be the quickest, fastest way to be able to get them to it? And then making sure, though, that you've got that out for the live human voice, that if there is a problem and they cannot get to that department, rather than them continuing to circle around and circle around in that loop, that there is an out, that there is always the zero or the number that they can call. And if they're totally frustrated or they just really truly want that human voice, it's worth it to give them that opportunity.
I'm laughing inside because I probably relate to most people when I say that. I've been to the point where you go through the phone tree and then you get disconnected automatically and you have to start all over again.
Exactly. Exactly. And so you are, as a customer, then just so frustrated that by the time you do reach an employee, that employee has to first work through your emotions of anger and frustration before they can even begin to ask you, well, why were you calling in the first place? And so it puts the employee in a very bad position because now they become a victim of that process. And it starts the entire experience off in a very negative light.
So I like your book because it's a practitioner's guide. It avoids concepts and it's a how-to book on to go from point A to point B, to design, you know, good customer service, to build that customer experience. And a lot of your book touches on talent management, onboarding, performance ratings, employees and organizational behavior. How important is talent management, do you believe, is to building that customer experience?
Well, I believe that it is a huge factor because there are some people who are more naturally customer service oriented than others. There are some people who like to be nice to other people and others who are just really leave me alone, let me just do my job. And so the more that you can weed out and differentiate between those employees or those candidates who are both technically competent and choose the one who's more naturally service oriented and likes to be around and interact with people, the more easier it's going to be to weave them in to this culture of service excellence that you're looking to create. And so what I talk about in the book is looking at how in the orientation process or the recruitment process, can you begin to start to ask questions that are going to lead you to that candidate? And so most organizations in the interview process, they focus more on the technical competencies versus those attitudes and the attributes and traits of customer service personalities. And so looking for those folks, and then once you do hire them, that you give an orientation that immediately reinforces that we are very serious in our organization about service excellence and that it is a part of your job, that it's not an add-on to your job. That too is an immediate way to start creating this culture of tomorrow that we are a service-oriented organization. So the talent management is huge. And as you look at those world-class companies that are consistently known for service excellence, they will tell you that it's easier in most cases to teach applicants, new employees, the technical skills to the jobs than it is to teach them how to be service-oriented and nice.
Terry, how does customer service, or let me reframe that, how does the consumer-to-employee engagement differ between an engagement that's human to human in person, a telephone call, or a website chat box?
Well, the face-to-face gives you that opportunity to see the body language, to see the facial expressions, for there to be more touch points or points of contact that are very visible to be able to build that relationship with the customer. But I know that even in dealing over the phone, like with the USAA, that the representatives always start out the conversation with asking some questions to get to know me first before they delve into the issue at hand. And so I feel like it's more of a personal conversation. And so what they're doing is just like the face-to-face, they're trying to make it build that relationship first. And I've noticed that even as you probably have with Amazon, is that once you buy a product, they'll pop up a little message and say, well, we saw you bought this. So many other customers who bought this have liked this other product. Would you like to see it? So they too are looking at taking it more than just a transaction with the engagement to building the relationships. So all three of them have their pros and cons. And it's really more up to the employee to use that methodology that the organization has chosen, because sure, it is, many people would rather interact online, but you still want to feel valued and special versus just, you know, this was just a interaction for the moment.
We're chatting with Terry Yanovich about customer experience and customer service. We're going to take a quick break so we can pay some bills.
Are you tired of being confused and frustrated by your business books? Do you want to do your own business bookkeeping but don't know where to begin? I can help. My name is Crystal Wombeck and I am a certified bookkeeper. I'm the creator of the Simple Bookkeeping Program. This online, work at your own pace video course will take you from confused to confident when it comes to your business books. Log into accountingbycrystal.com and sign up today.
Welcome back to ClickSuasion. This is Michael Barbera. We're with Terry Yanovich, speaker, trainer, consultant, author of Unleashing Excellence, the Complete Guide to the Ultimate Customer Service. Terry, welcome back.
Thank you.
Terry, so I have to ask you, what are your thoughts on automated customer service and artificial intelligence to answer customer inquiries or questions?
That is an interesting question, because it does make it very difficult then to create that customer experience with the automation and the artificial intelligence. But it still is a way to interact with the customer. And if that is the method that the customer appreciates because of their time factors or the efficiency of it, or maybe it's just something that, you know, it's a commodity thing that's so commonly purchased that they don't need anything extra. It's just a matter of like me ordering dog food for my chocolate lab. I don't need to have a lot of a personal engagement. I order the same food every time. I do go online and order it, and it is just a transaction. And so it's very convenient for me to be able to do it in that way. And so it has its place. It definitely has its place. And so that's not necessarily one of the ones that I would feel that a company needs to, you know, in fact, customers wouldn't want a lot of experience in an interaction in that. So that's a choice. And that's where companies have to take a look at what their products and services are, what are those where the customers are going to appreciate that kind of a processing and delivery, and where are those that that they need to have that live human person who's able to answer the questions or to engage and interact with that customer to be able to help serve them. So that's actually one that has to be taken a look at from the perspective of what the organization is offering.
I want to wrap up with one of my favorite topics, and that's data and measurement. What are some data points or measurement tools that are should be well should be used by organizations to measure customer experience and customer service?
Well, I'm right there with you. Measurement is one of my favorites because when you talk about feelings, it's real hard to quantify what those feelings are. But with measurement, you get the proof through the data. The measurements that seem to be the most powerful are those that the work group is able, that is delivering that product or service, is able to take at the moment, and so that they too can see and change their behaviors if it's not being perceived as going well. So, for example, yesterday I was at a Dunkin' Donuts and I noticed that there was a measurement chart up congratulating the employees who were at the drive-through as to their performance. And it was, wow, you rock, 100% guest satisfaction based upon the surveys. And so what they had been doing is asking the guests, would you rate your service today? And all you had to do was a little check mark. And then they were able to calculate and compile that and be able to come up with their database. And I've seen that in hospitals. I've seen that in many retail type organizations, measuring right away that consumer experience as the customer is exiting the area, or a very quick follow-up. And you also see that with telephone too. Many times now, it's will you stay on the line and please rate your representative. So the key is to do it quick. To do it as quickly after the experience has ended, and then to be able to share that with the frontline employees that are delivering it. So it's not just management collecting the information and reading through it and putting it in a drawer, but the more visible it is and the more on display that it is, that in itself becomes a motivator to the employees, because everybody, when we see a chart that goes up, and we want to see, how can we make it look better? How, because ultimately it'll make us look better. So measurement is a very powerful tool, and it should be not viewed as a negative, but it should be viewed by organizations as to how can it help us? How can it target areas where we can improve our service and experience?
Terry, where can we find your book?
My book is on Amazon as well as at Barnes and Noble bookstores. You can also call me as well. My website is www.retainloyalcustomers.com. And yes, those would be the three outlets that would be best to get a copy of the book.
And Terry, if listeners want to get in contact with you, how can we reach you?
My email is ty@retainloyalcustomers.com. And my phone number is 407-788-7765. Those would be the best ways. I also do have a blog on my website. You can sign up, and on a weekly basis, I give customers service tips and tools, as well as I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn. So many different ways that I'd love to connect with you.
Terry, thank you so much for being a guest today on ClickSuasion.
Well, thank you for having me, Michael, and I hope that I've been able to give you some tips and recognizing, yeah, that in today's world, the customer experience is the differentiator.
Thanks for listening to ClickSuasion. This is your host, Michael Barbera. We've been here with Terry Yanovich. Go ahead and subscribe to ClickSuasion on iTunes, Google Play, Libsyn, or clicksuasion.com, and we'll let you know when the next episode is available.
Thanks for listening to ClickSuasion. Subscribe to the podcast, read our research, and get in touch with us at clicksuasion.com. You can also find us on Twitter with the handle @ClickSuasion.